It has been my great pleasure to accompany Brother Michael on a couple of occasions out to the river, to the lake, to go fishing. And it's enjoyable to sit in the boat and to ride along with the water and cast the line out and try to catch a fish. I will tell anyone who asks me if I'm a fisherman that I am not. I'm not a fisherman. I don't catch fish. I fish for fish, and that's all I do. Michael swears he's going to get me to catch some fish one of these days. And if he keeps trying, maybe we will. But I call myself the anti-fish, because any time that I go fishing, the fish just go away. You know, they go away from. Well, imagine if you would be sitting out in the boat, out in the lake, and you are fishing, and you are trying to make a living at doing this. And so you have a pretty large boat, and you have a lot of nets that you use to cast over the side. And in casting those nets, you're hoping that a school of fish will come along in just the right point, and that those nets will fall down on top of those fish, and that you'll be able to bring them up into the boat and then take those fish to the market and sell them. Now imagine you're out fishing and you have no such luck. And then you're coming in for the day, and let's say that you're down here on the lake, and there's the boat dock right there next to the highway, and you're about to come in, and there's a man standing there on the boat dock. And as he's standing there, he's looking at you as if you're a fisherman. You're supposed to have a bunch of fish when you come in, and you have no fish whatsoever. Now, you're a professional fisherman, and you know how to fish, and you know that sometimes you just don't catch the fish that you're hoping to catch. But the man standing on the dock says, "Throw your net over to the side." And you're sitting there thinking, now look, everybody knows that if you want to catch a bunch of fish, you got to go out to where the fish are at. And the fish just don't generally hang around by the dock. There's just too much activity there, too many people coming and going. And most likelihood is that there's not going to be a lot of fish there. But he's insistent, you know. Throw your net out. And so you say, well, okay, at your bidding, I will go ahead and throw my net out. And lo and behold, you throw your net out onto the side of the boat, and it is filled with all kinds of fish, so many fish that you've got to have the other people coming in to dock their boat to come over to you and help you to pull in all of these fish. Now that would be an amazing sight, wouldn't it? Well, that kind of thing happened to Peter and to John and to Andrew and to James one day. When Jesus came to the side of the Sea of Galilee and he saw them coming in from fishing all night long, and they had worked so hard, but they hadn't caught a thing. And he told them to cast their net out, and they caught this big draft of fish, so many fish that they had to have two boats to bring it in to land. Now in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, we read this. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now think about the amount of fish that you caught by throwing that net on the side just because this man told you to do that. And now he is saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I think I'd be pretty convinced at that point, especially me, because I just don't catch fish. Now, if somebody could come along and do that with me so that I just had this boatload of fish, I'd have to say, now something's really special about this man right here. Something's really special about him. And of course, we know that this was Jesus. And Jesus' call then to Peter and Andrew is to leave the fishing industry behind and to go out and fish for men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20 says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The expression fishers of men refers to going out and doing personal evangelism, seeking and saving that which was lost. Luke chapter 7 and verse 19. Jesus called these men to become personal evangelists, to seek others, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, to be evangelists, preachers, apostles, teachers. All of those titles, you know, sound wonderful to us because we look back upon the history of the church and we look at these men and we think, wow, what an amazing job they did. Look at all they accomplished in this short period of time, you know, from about 30 AD until about, say, 90 AD. That's only a period of 60 years. But look at all they accomplished in that 60 years that they were on the earth. Some of them less than that. And we just look at those apostles and those preachers and those teachers, we think, they were such great guys, you know, great men. But when Jesus called them, they weren't so great. Think about that for a minute. Who were these guys? They were just fishermen. Peter and John, they were fishermen. James and Andrew were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. You know, he worked for the government, right? Another man named Simon was called the Zealot. He was some kind of political person. He was involved in the politics of that day and time. But Jesus called all these men. There wasn't anything special about them. But he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He transformed their humble occupation into something extraordinary. But he didn't use any magic formula. He didn't use any special sauce, you know, like they have on the Big Mac or something like that. He just encouraged these men to use the talents that they had and to go out and to be doers. You see, Jesus taught some very basic principles to these men. And then they took those principles and they taught them to others. And that's really the simple thing that they did to change the world. Now we can use these same basic principles today. And we can follow after Jesus. Because as Jesus calls them to be fishers of men, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So he calls us as well. In whatever occupation you are in today, maybe some of you work for the government. Maybe some of you work for the school district. Maybe some of you drive a truck, or maybe some of you own your own business, do other things. But Jesus, you see, he can use anyone to go out and to preach and teach the message that he wants us to preach and teach. He can make us fishers of men as well. So this morning, let's talk about four ways in which each person can be a fisher of men. To go out and to be evangelistic for Christ. To take the message of the Gospels to others. To evangelize our community. We have this wonderful opportunity coming up in this marriage seminar that we're going to be having here at the New Boston Church of Christ. And this is a time when we can reach out to our friends and our family around us and to talk to them about maybe some of their needs. There are a lot of people in this world who are either thinking about getting married, want to be married in the future, are married, have been married, or wanting to get married again, who need this information. A lot of people. And there, a lot of people are out there, they're just kind of floundering along, you know. They're out there in their boat with their line fishing and they're not catching anything and they're wondering why. Well, they need to come to Jesus to learn about their life. Because Jesus has the answers. Just as he knew where those fish were going to be when Peter and Andrew cast their net over the side and brought in that large abundance of fish, Jesus knows about your life. He knows where things are going to be, and he can help us if we will listen to his word. And so we need to go out and we need to invite other people to come in and to learn about Jesus so that lives can be transformed. We can follow after Jesus, first of all, by letting people see our life. You know, this is a very basic and fundamental principle. Letting people see our life. You know, Jesus' life was open to both His friends and His enemies. Everybody could see Him. Everybody knew what He was doing. And He would go out there and just be who He was. And we can do the same. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 37, it says that the common people heard Him gladly. In 16 times, the book of Matthew refers to all the multitudes who followed after Him. Paul said to Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse 26, he said, "For the king knows of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." That is, it wasn't hidden away. Jesus didn't hide His life away, and He wasn't a secretive person, and He didn't have all these secrets that He didn't reveal to anyone. No, Jesus taught everyone openly and freely and invited others to come to Him. And many times people would come to Him and bring the sick and bring their children and bring others so that they could see Him and know Him. Yes, Jesus preached and lived openly, and we need to do the same thing. Consider what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives life unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Yes, we are to let our light shine so that others around us can see the things that we are doing and thus bring glory to God within their lives also. How do we let people see our lives? We need to get out into the public. We need to go talk to our neighbors. We need to volunteer at the schools or in the community. Visit the nursing homes. Visit the hospitals and the prisons. Someone once said this: "I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day." Well, in order for this to happen, we have to be doing something that someone else can see. If that is really true, that I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day, then we need to be out there doing so that other people can see. And that doesn't just apply to me. It doesn't just apply to the elders. It doesn't just apply to the deacons. It applies to every single one of us. There is something here that everyone can do, and we must resolve that we're going to do it. So the first thing is, let's let people see our life as we live for Jesus. Secondly, we note this, that we can follow after Jesus and evangelizing others by talking to people about Jesus and His kingdom. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. He was talking about the church. He was talking about the kingdom. He would tell others about it. He would walk around saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And that caught people's attention. And they were then wanting to go and to hear what He had to say. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, John the Baptizer said the same thing. And then Jesus said the same thing. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He told His disciples in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, He said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, how often do we talk about the kingdom of heaven in our day-to-day life? What if we were to just walk up to our friends and say, "Hey, are you interested in learning about the kingdom of heaven?" How do you think they would respond to that? Well, maybe some of them would say, "No, you know, I'm not really interested in that." But others might say, "You know what? I am interested in that. I'd like to know more about this kingdom of heaven that you're talking to me about." And there's an opportunity then for us to share the message of the gospel with them. You see, the early disciples went about preaching and teaching and speaking about the kingdom and the church. Matthew speaks of the kingdom 50 times in his gospel account. Mark, 22 times. Luke, 40 times. Philip preached the kingdom of God to those who were at Samaria, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Paul said that to the Ephesian elders, he made it his business to preach the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 25. So what do I say when I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven? What do I say when I'm talking about the kingdom of God? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the church that Jesus built. And what are some of the things that we can tell others about the kingdom of God? We can tell them about the opportunities that we have to worship God together. We can tell them how we entered into that kingdom. John 3 and verse 5, Jesus says, except you're born again, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, except you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. We can talk about the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. But we can also talk about specific things that we do here as part of God's kingdom, God's church. The gospel meetings that we had. Our special Sundays that we have, like Potluck Sunday and things like that. We can talk about the events that we have here. For example, the sign language class that we're having this afternoon. Or our Learning to Serve program that we do every second Sunday of the month. We can tell others about our missionary efforts down in Panama that we participate in and even send some people to each year. You see, there are things that we are doing, and we need to be talking about those things to others. And if you don't know what we're doing, just pick up one of our bulletins and start reading it, and pretty soon you're going to get an idea of what's going on in the church here. And that will give you some ideas of things to talk about to others. So we want to talk about the kingdom of God, and we are in the kingdom of God today, and it's such a blessing to be in God's kingdom. So let's talk about that kingdom to others. Number three, as we follow after Jesus, in seeking to be fishers of men, we want to invite people to come hear the gospel. Jesus extended invitations to others to come hear Him teach and preach. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Come to Jesus. That's something that we can say to our friends. In John 7 and verse 37, there we read, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. If you're standing around the water cooler at work, maybe you can say to your friends, hey, are you thirsty? Have you thought about drinking the water of life? And see what kind of conversation that starts up. We don't have to preach a full sermon to them when we're talking to them, but we can invite them. We can say things as simple as, come and see. John chapter 1 and verse 46. That's what Philip said to Nathanael. Just those three simple words, come and see. Now I know that just about every single person in here can say, come and see. We're going to have a gospel meeting. Oh yeah, what's it going to be about? Come and see. Yeah. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, we read, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come. That's such a simple message. And it's so easy to say, if we will just get that word out. How do we tell our friends to come? Well, we need to know when we have our regularly scheduled services. Let them know that we have Bible study every Sunday morning at 9:30. And then we have worship at 10:25. And then we, again on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. Know the address of the church building, 610 North McCoy Boulevard. Understand how to invite others to come to this place to study God's Word. Hand out a flyer for one of our special events. Ask somebody this very simple question. Would you come with me to worship this Sunday? That's easy. That's simple. Would you come with me to worship? We can do that. Everybody can do that. And so we can be fishers of men by simply inviting people to come and hear the gospel. But then our fourth point, not the least by any means, perhaps the most important of all of the points, is this, that we can be fishers of men by praying. And we want to pray for others. And we want to include them in our thoughts as we're talking to God and think about the particular things that are going on within their life. And you know what's going on in the lives of those who are closest to you. And so you can pray to God about those things. Jesus said that we need to pray more and more. In fact, in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 37 and 38, he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest." Pray to God for more workers in the kingdom. We are to pray for our enemies and to treat them well. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Did you know that Jesus prayed for you? He did. In John chapter 17 and verse 20, he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through your," or their, "word." Jesus prayed for you. And Jesus prayed for me. And that means something to me, knowing that the Lord took time out of his life to say a prayer for me. Can we take time out of our lives to say a prayer for someone else? I believe we can. The early church continued steadfastly in prayer. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God." Philippians 4 and verse 6. He also wrote, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. And he told Timothy, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Let's resolve within our hearts and in our lives that we are going to pray for those around us to hear the gospel and to respond to it. Ask God to open doors for us to teach others the gospel. Pray that each one of us will have the courage to tell others about the truth. Pray for the individuals that each of us meet in the community, that they might know about God's kingdom. You see, there is something that everyone can do. And I know that we can all pray. Are we seeking God's kingdom first within our life today? Jesus told us to do that, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And there really is something that every one of us can do. The question is, will we do it? Jesus took a bunch of fishermen, social outcasts in a lot of ways, and he changed them, he transformed them, he molded them into the apostles and prophets and teachers of the New Testament that we so look up to and admire and respect today for the good work that they did in the lives that God gave them. What a wonderful work they did. We can do that work also. We are no different than Peter and John. We are no different than Andrew and James. We are no different than Matthew and the rest of the apostles. We can do the same work that they did. If we believe that Jesus can change our lives like he changed theirs. And I believe he can. And I want you to believe that he can as well. Let's resolve to do each one of these things that we talked about this morning within our lives more and more. Let someone you see in your life, let them know that you're concerned about God's kingdom, God's church. Get out into the public and be a good example to others. Invite someone to the services or to one of our special events. Say a prayer for someone that you know each and every day. You see, these are very simple things that we can do. And God will use them to transform our lives and the lives of those around us as well. Does your life need to be transformed this morning? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, repent, because we all have a problem within our life, and that problem is the problem of sin. That problem keeps us from being right with God. In Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2, Isaiah said, you know, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. We need to do something about that. Hear the word of God and believe it. Repent of our sins, confess Jesus as Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins, so that we can then be in a right relationship with God and going out, preaching the gospel to others, seeking others to come into that same relationship that we have with God. Do you value that relationship? Then why not tell others about it? This morning, if you need the prayers of the church, or you have some problem in your life that you're dealing with that you'd like to have prayer for this morning, we can help you with that as well. Whatever your need may be, you can come now while we stand and sing the song of invitation.